This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello there. This is episode 89 of the Out of Bounds podcast. I'm your host, Adam. Adam Jabber, if you're wondering what my last name was. I don't feel like we need a sponsor for this episode. Fisher Skis is our sponsor for the show, as you know. So check out Fisher Skis at www.fishersports.com. But we did this episode with Roy Tuscany from High Fives Foundation, and I kind of felt like we should just run it. No sponsor. I'm going to tell you a little bit about High Fives ahead of time, and then obviously we talk about it in the episode, and that's going to be it. High Fives is a fantastic foundation. Their mission is, straight on the website, it says High Fives focuses on preventing life-changing injuries and provides resources and hope if they happen. Roy and I kind of talk about this on the show. Just having hope and having people there and having people with some experience in situations like this when bad things do happen is super, super important. I'm glad we got to do this episode. There is at High Fives, H-I-G-H, Fives, F-I-V-E-S, foundation.org. You can go and you can donate. You can find out more information. You can see some of the awesome programs that High Fives has to offer. They're killing it, and I couldn't be happier to have Roy on the show to talk about this and talk about a bunch of other stuff too. We kind of go through a little bit of Roy's backstory, why he started High Fives, and then we kind of just shoot the shit for a bit. But I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed doing it. It's one of my favorite ones. I had a great time chatting with Roy, and that's basically it. Make sure that you follow, us on social media. If you don't follow us already, it's at Out of Podcast on all social media, Out of Bounds Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, whatever. You know this because you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review if you get the chance. And let's be real, like you all have the chance. Just scroll all the way to the bottom of the episode list and leave us a 5-star review. And if you want, tell us why you like the show. If you have guest suggestions or things you think we should talk about more or topic suggestions, if you're getting bored of me, shoot me an email, adam@outofpodcast.com, and I'll try to make it happen for you. Additionally, make sure you're following High Fives on Instagram. It's H-I-5S Foundation on social media. Be sure to check them out. Give them a follow and see some of the awesome things that they do. Roy is also on Instagram as well. It's just at Roy Tuscany. And that's basically it. I will talk to you guys on Wednesday or Thursday. We've got another episode coming out. Don't forget to tell your friends about the show. This thing's been doing really well, especially in recent weeks. It's been doing great. So hopefully, we keep that momentum going. We've got a ton of awesome episodes coming up, and, we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks. Bye.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell the people a little bit about yourself. We'll just kick this thing off.
Yeah. My name is Roy Tuscany. I'm a 38-year-old fifth-generation Vermonter who grew up skiing almost every single day. It was just what kind of embedded my soul to who I became.
Yeah.
And moved out west because why not? We lived in Vermont, you know, and like got to move out west. That's what every kid wants to do when they have ambitions to be a semi-professional skier in an industry that is just lucrative in so many ways. But it really was that I wanted to move out west and coach kids, show them, you know, the skills that I had and to pass on to them. That's why I really wanted to move out west. There was a really great program at Sugar Bowl Academy, and moved out west in 2004, and I skied POW every single day for 2 straight years. And then one day I went 130 feet on a 100-foot jump and came down from 30 feet in the air and burst fractured my T12 vertebrae down at Mammoth. And that's kind of, you know, that's probably why I'm on the podcast, actually. I don't think it was to, you know, talk to a dude that was going to be a shitty contractor that was coaching skiing. You know, it's because of, you know, that accident, which, you know, then turned into the creation of High Fives Foundation, which now is in its 11th year as an organization.
That's so crazy. I don't usually do a lot of research on people, but I started reading some articles on you like just this morning, and like I've read like your friend looking at you when you hit that jump, when you hit the ground, like the way like someone would look at a puppy that got hit by a bus. And I was just like, fuck, like that's a very clear image of like what that must have been like. I mean,
yeah, three friends. I remember I looked up because I had gone out of consciousness. I had hit the ground so hard and instantaneously just knew the ramifications of what had just happened. Not fully, but knew that it was really bad.
Yeah.
And called the ski coach that was down there with me at the time, talked to him. He sent some friends in the patrol. I then blacked out.
Yeah.
The next thing, an air mask is on my face and air's rushing in. My eyes open up. I'm alive again. And I look up and there's my three friends just looking at me. And that's the only way I could ever explain it. Like what it would look like if you were like over at your friend's house, like, check out my puppy. The puppy like runs into the street and a truck runs right over it.
Oh my God.
And that's like, that was the look on their face. And I was like, I knew right then and there, I was like, this is really bad.
Yeah. So what made you want to create High Fives, right? Like, so you went through your own recovery and then you were like, I want to help other people. Is that what the plan was?
So when I got hurt, I was coaching at Sugar Bowl Academy.
Yeah.
That's from Vermont. Yeah. Both of them are very community based areas in the country. Okay. And when I got hurt, they all rallied and they rallied a lot of money so that for 2 years I could just focus on my own recovery.
Yeah.
And at the end of 2 years, I kind of felt empty. It was like, how can I say thank you? How can I repay? None of these people wanted to be repaid. They wanted to help. And that's why they gave. And you know, that was a beautiful thing of how community comes together to help others. And after 2 years, it was just like, okay, how can I do something that makes it feel like I'm paying it forward? And it just hit me that, okay, maybe not everyone, when they have a life-changing injury, will have an amazing community like I've had. So why not just create something that is that community, that is that financial, you know, support system? And in 2009, just, you know, it's like, hey, let's do this. I had no idea. I had no idea how to run a nonprofit, no idea what a nonprofit was other than, you know, hearing about it growing up. But, you know, I had no idea like what to do. And I just started talking to what I thought and what I see as, you know, successful nonprofits in the area in Tahoe. And I just started talking to all the leadership in those other organizations. And that's kind of how I formed High Fives.
Yeah. So what, where did the name come from, High Fives?
So the day after I got hurt, I got air flown or medevaced up to Renown Hospital in Reno, Nevada from Mammoth in a Learjet. Landed and I had emergency surgery. The surgeon came in the next day to kind of just talk about, you know, the procedure, how it was, what the outcome could look like and stuff like that. And he gave me really good news. Like the way he presented it, I mean, classic doctor, like no bedside manner, but like at least like presented all the information. And I was like, cause I was thinking, you know, like paralyzed for life, like, you know, there is no hope here. Yeah, like
worst,
you know,
case scenario.
Worst case scenarios in my head. And you know, he just opened up and gave me a lot of positivity. And so I just put my hand up because like, that's how I wanted to say thank you to him. Like, yeah, bud, like let's celebrate the news you just gave. Yeah. Let's slap some hands. Let's break some bread. And my hands, like, it felt like, I was just telling the story last week, it felt like 5 minutes my hand was just there, completely just, like, hanging.
Just waiting.
Just waiting for the doctor to slap it. And nothing happened. And finally, I just had to tell the doctor. I was like, hey, can you slap my hand? That's a high five. And I just want to say thank you for the news and the great surgery. And so years later, you know, after got through the recovery and then came up with the idea to start the foundation, there was a bunch of different iterations that we had come up with for names. But all of a sudden we're sitting on the back deck and I was like, dude, we got to call this thing High Fives because there's no more way to give positivity between two people than slapping two hands. And so it hit me, okay, we're going to serve positivity and we're going to talk about a moment in my life where I got denied my positivity. And we're going to use that. And so that's where the name came from. It comes from that doctor, like, leaving me hanging.
Shout out to that guy. Who doesn't know what a high five is? Like, what world do you live in where, like, someone puts their hand out and you're just like, what?
Do you want to know something crazy? They claim that the high five's only been around since 1976.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's less than 50 years in the span of life as the high five existed. So there was a gentleman by the name of Glenn Burke, who was the second baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And with four games to go in the 1976 season, Dusty Baker hit a home run and made it for the first time ever for four teammates to have 30 home runs in a season.
Yeah.
Dusty came around third. Glenn Burke jumped out of the dugout, ran up, and it was the first time anyone can ever find a documented high five between two people. So supposedly the first ever high five has only been around since 1976.
That's crazy. That's crazy to be like clap your hands together, like, and that's like a motion that your brain goes, oh, that felt nice. Like, that's good. Like, yeah. I feel better about something.
And it's sanitary too. It's so quick, you know, yeah. With all this coronavirus stuff people are worried about.
Dude, that shit's crazy. How about sticking a bunch of fucking people in a building, like international, like, and then being like, oh, there's definitely a big disease risk right now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it just flu too, you know, it's crazy. Like leading up to the show, I eat a full clove of garlic 3 nights in a row. Like, just trying to shock the system. Like, if the body can take a whole clove of garlic, like, none of this flu or virus stuff's going to get to me.
I hope that works out for you. I don't know if that's, like, the end all be all. Yeah. Like, I've heard that, like, people eat garlic all the time. And, like, it seems to help, right? But I don't know if it actually works. Is it, like, proven to work?
I don't know if it's proven to work. But the one thing I can tell you it is proven is that when you sweat, all of a sudden you feel like you're inside of an Olive Garden.
Yeah.
You're just like... Where's that oh, it's me.
Yeah. Oh. Because I ate three.
I ate 3 cloves of garlic, and now I'm just like oozing it out of my system.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to me that, like, what you said that yesterday, that there's the first, like, the cases in the U.S. have been confirmed now.
Yeah.
Fucking bummer.
Yeah.
Shit's going to be weird. I'm not looking forward to it.
More cloves of garlic, bro.
Yeah. For everybody. Yeah, everybody listening to this, do your shit. Might be too late by the time this comes out, but whatever. So what does High Fives do? Talk a little bit about the progression of it, and then we'll kind of like backtrack to how you actually made it happen. But
totally. So High Fives focuses on preventing life-changing injuries and providing resources and hope if they happen.
Okay.
We believe that we are the safety net of the outdoor sports. We provide financial grants to individuals that have life-changing injuries in outdoors.
Okay.
Someone's spinal cord, traumatic brain, mobility limiting, something that's really going to change the course of your life and the way that you move.
Yeah.
We want to say, hey, we're here to help you.
Okay.
The bigger thing that I think we do that is almost impossible to put down on paper or really, you know, express until you absorb it yourself or see it with your own eyes is we've created this community. We feel that the word from Hawaii for family, which is Ohana, really speaks to what we do as an organization. The thing that happens when someone has this life-changing injury, we love shredding, we love riding mountain bikes, whatever it is, we love being outside, going fast, and just enjoying it. But the thing that a lot of people don't think about is that you get to do it with friends.
Yeah.
And that's community.
Yeah.
And that right there, those are some of your best friends, the people you've ridden single tracks with, who you've hiked to the top of the mountain with, or had an epic pow day, or whatever it may be. You create these bonds and you create these conversations. Well, when you have this life-changing injury that takes you away from sport, it's actually not just sport that's taken away. It's that community. It's those friends. It's that group of people that you used to shred hard with and that would, you know, ignite your soul. And High Fives, what we found is that, you know what? We want to make sure we give that back to people. We want to give them the opportunity to get back to sport. We want to get them the opportunity to get back to shredding and doing fun things with their friends and in sport, because sport is a byproduct of community. And for us, we find that if we can reignite someone back out into sport, we're doing so much beyond just that fiscal grant or that piece of equipment. We're reconnecting them with their community that they may have lost. And that right there is the most healing power you can ever do for someone. Just think about it. Like, imagine if one day, like, you're like, dude, I wish I could go shred, and you can't anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not just that sport that's pulled away. What about your buddy that used to call at like 6 a.m. be like, dude, let's go grab coffee. Let's go get to the mountain and go.
Yeah.
It's like, where's that? Well, that's gone too. And so High Fives really wants to step in there and say, hey, you know what? Like, there's so much opportunity that can still exist. We're going to find a way to adapt it for you, and we're going to get you back out in the outdoors and enjoying what you love. Mm-hmm. We also have safety education for young winter sports enthusiasts. So
okay.
A program called Basics, Be Aware, Safe in Critical Situations.
Okay.
The program is all video-based and is used in a free platform where we share the messaging with kids to help them understand the adherent dangers that exist in the winter sports.
Yeah.
And then the coolest thing, we're in the midst of a renovation. It used to be 2,800 square feet. It's soon to be about 4,000 square feet. Our office space in Truckee. It's called the Sierra Johnson Healing Center, named after a close friend, pioneer of free skiing, the original, you know, goes bigger than anybody, does bigger things than anybody, Sierra Johnson, you know. Yeah. And we've created a healing center that has all the different modalities of healing. No cost, no question. Sees about 4,000 visits per year.
That's awesome.
40% of those are adaptive athletes, and there's massage, personal training, physical therapy, acupuncture, and then a gym space that is just totally open for them to use at any time. So between all those things, that's how we cast a net of safety over the outdoors. And, you know, unfortunately, people get hurt. And when we get hurt, we want to make sure that we give them a hand up instead of a hand out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think the first part, I think, is the most important to me because nobody thinks about that part, like the missing your friends part.
Yeah.
Everybody just assumes that, like, you know, a text messenger is enough for somebody that's like in a situation, even if it's temporary. Like, I mean, it's just that you're bummed out as shit when you're going through anything, especially if it's long term. So I can't even imagine how important that is for people.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. I mean, we were talking, you know, before the show, we're up skiing with friends, having a blast, just like enjoying it. Now, like, what if that was gone?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like
a bummer ass show.
Yeah. What'd you guys do today?
Santa Convention Center, where everybody talked about outdoors all day and didn't go outside.
Like, and used words like pivot and like.
Yeah. Dude, no, thank you. No, thank you.
I wish someone, you know, they've made those videos like shit that girls say or stuff like that. Yeah. I would love for someone to make like, you know, shit said at trade shows.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would just be the most funniest shit to the people that really know it too.
Yeah. Have you followed that indoor retailer page on Instagram?
No.
Dude, it's fucking hilarious. Like indoor retailer.
That just took me a second to figure it out.
Dude.
That's a really clever name.
Dude, it's fucking genius. And it's like, that was actually one of the things, the most recent post from them is like talking about Corona in the building. It's like, yeah, let's have an international trade show in the midst of like an international emergency. But, but no, dude, it's all hilarious shit. Like it's all just like dumb shit that happens in the outdoor industry. But they only post like during the 2 weeks of the fucking trade show season. But
those are some of my favorite things on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Kelly Childeroo.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic IG account that's just satire humor based around the ski industry.
Dude, there's so many of those accounts that are good now. Everybody's got a meme page, and like there's like some that are, there's like Chad's Gap Official, I think, is good. Meme Cork is good.
Meme Cork's
that
really
one
good.
That was the one with the A Basin one.
Yeah.
When A Basin opened before Keystone. Like that's, dude, all these pages are fucking killing it.
Yeah.
But anyway. So with the video thing, how do you, I think there's a lot of videos out there that like talk about safety and like even like my, like I used to ski at Jiminy Peak, right? That was the first park I ever went to. And like they make you sit in this little room and you watch this dumb video of like a kid hitting like a box straight on or like, you know, jumping off the side of the jump and like doing all this shit that you're not supposed to do. And they're like, yeah, be safe out there. How do you guys differentiate like a normal safety video versus what you're doing with the education for kids and like how to be safer on the hill?
I love it. You just teed me up so well with your example there, actually. So first and foremost, like a ski mountain producing that sort of stuff is the equivalent of mom and dad telling you to do things.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to listen. You're going to be like, yeah, okay, I get it. I heard you.
Yeah.
But you're not going to actually absorb it. You're going to just take it and move on. Now, from High Five's perspective, we have this persona of having a very cool image.
Yeah.
And so when that kind of is the first step, and it's not, we're not teaching it from a way of like, this is the man stepping down on your fun. It's like, hey, here's things that we've seen. Here's real life things that we've seen. And here's things that we know could have been done to prevent it. The other thing we do is like, we don't have some weird voiceover or some person, you know, telling the story. We have people like Cody Townsend, Jeremy Jones, Michelle Parker, Darren Rouse, people that kids look up to.
Yeah, like all-time
that say
athletes.
Like, yeah, all like the superheroes of our sport, speaking the messaging.
Yeah.
And so the kids instantaneous, oh, Jeremy Jones told me that? Oh, I probably should listen.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, it's really relevant content. And it's not done where it's like this buttload of information. It's five key points.
Yeah.
And so when you take away from it, it's like, okay, cool. I learned these five key points and it's done in 90 seconds. So it's a 90 second video that's used in a viral format that literally the kids just watch and then they can instantaneously regurgitate what they've learned because they're hearing it from someone that they want to hear it from. They respect that person. And it's not an overwhelming amount of information. And it's done in a way that also is just like, here is the focus points of what we're trying to get across.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's really hard to not be preachy with those things sometimes.
Yeah.
I think if it's like, if it's good content, kids will watch it. And I think, like you said, having people like Cody and Michelle and like Jeremy Jones, like that's who kids are going to listen to. I just remember like sitting in that little lounge where they like put the video on and like all of us would literally just bring our gear in there and we'd get changed while the movie's going on so we could get our park pass. We don't have to watch the fucking video and then we move on. Like, so it's important that that stuff is better because otherwise you don't benefit. There's no point in doing it, right?
Yeah. And so we actually reproduce the videos every single year. So every year we produce five new PSAs because they're one of the reasons I made this program. You know, we created this program with JT, but the one of the like talking points that we had was, you know, I remember watching this ACL video back in the day and it was shot in like 1982. They're showing it in 1996. Like, they're like, none of the equipment's relevant, let alone like I think it was shot in like 8-bit like grayscale. And it's like there's color, like we can do these things. And so, you know, one thing that we always want to make sure too is that it's never like, oh, this is the safety messaging that we've been using for the last 6 years and it continually is the same exact thing. It's like, no, here's the fresh new stuff every single year that we're producing, so that that content never gets old, but at the same time it looks relevant to the time frame too. Like it would be so weird nowadays if all of a sudden you're trying to learn from something and they've got, you know, straight skis with some rear entry leather boat buckles and you're like, yeah, here's how you're gonna say stay. You're not even using the right equipment. Like, how the hell am I supposed to listen to you?
Yeah, and Ski Shop Kid is, like, on the other hand, is telling other customers that, like, that shit's too old. You can't use it. It's not safe. But the video's like, yeah, go ahead, use that shit, right?
That's even better. I didn't even think of that point.
Because that's what I do, right? Like, it's like I'm, like, telling people, oh, no, that binding's not good. Oh, that boot's going to blow up on you, right? So then, like, the immediate transition to that is, like, you see these old videos, and you're just like, what the fuck are you doing out there?
Yeah.
And so how do you think safety in snow sports has gotten better in the last few years? Because, like, obviously people are wearing more helmets. I saw the numbers, but I can't remember them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Like, that's grown a ton. It seems like people are more focused on that aspect of it. But speak, I guess, to, like, how you think that's changing and how it's getting better.
You know, I think there's a lot of I don't think we really need to worry about, like, the younger kids wearing helmets. Like, I think it's something like 94% of kids under the age of 18 wear helmets. I mean, that's don't quote me on that, but
No one will.
Let's just use that. Yeah. 94%. That's a fact. You heard it here. But I think, like, the safety in the ski industry in the snowboard world too is just like it's kind of in this weird, like, it's in this weird space right now because the equipment the technology of equipment is way past much skill set of the people who are participating. And I think that's where we're starting to see more injuries come from, is where people believe, like, all right, I go into the store, I get my new, you know, Dynastar Legend 10 whatever underfoot, I can go shred anything, I'm the best skier on the mountain, because the ski tech told me at the shop that this will make you the best skier on the mountain. He's probably right in some ways, but at the same time, like, just because that equipment allows you to ski so much faster, it allows you to rip pow, like, a lot of people still don't have the skills. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, when something bad happens in one of those situations where this, you know, equipment has put you in, the equipment sometimes, I think, is what's getting us into these situations that are causing it. Mm-hmm. You look at, like, park skis from, like, 10 years ago to now. I mean, we're talking, like, pieces of cream cheese filled with wood on top of them that bent all over. But now those skis are so much, you know, they have race bases. You can put, you can go extremely fast on. There's so many things that have been put into ski equipment that allows the human body to travel at a faster speed. But it's where sometimes I think people's skill set is what gets us in trouble, because it's like, I can go get rad, but, like, what happens when something's about to go bad? Do you know how to correct? And I think that's where we're starting to see, you know, some of those things. The other thing, I was skiing the other day. I don't know why people like to do this. I don't know if it's a game that, you know, is being told, but, like, yo, give people, like, 15 feet. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what it is. Human bodies aren't race gates, and I get it. Like, you want to show how cool you are by, like, carving around someone, but, like, yo, stay away from the cripple on the mountain, man. Like, I already got enough issues. Yeah. Like, I don't need you coming closer to me.
People are doing that to you? They're just like fucking,
oh, my,
like,
God. The other day I was skiing and I was testing out these new robotic legs by Rome, which is the coolest
I talked
thing.
About that with Jim and, like, Harris, and they were just like, oh, dude, those are nuts.
It's crazy. It's like AI stuff, like, showing up on I'm having a blast. First time in 14 years I'm skiing with just ski poles. And I'm skiing very, like, beginner.
Yeah.
But in my mind, like, best skier on the mountain going down.
I'm feel good.
I'm having the best time.
Fuck yeah.
And so I'm skiing down mountain running squad, and all of a sudden this lady, like, literally arcs a turn around me like I'm a GS gate. And I'm like, excuse me. And then 2 seconds later, it must have been her husband, because they had, like, matching outfits. He does the left hand around me. And I'm like, guys, like, what are you doing? Like, give me some space. So I think those are, if I could say anything, like, yo, give people 15 feet. We're going to see less accidents that way. And also, like, once you buy the piece of equipment, like, it doesn't mean instantaneously you're the best skier. Like, there are skills. There are reasons that it's taken years for people to become good at skiing, because it's not easy. And I think those are the two biggest things from a safety perspective that I'd love to see kind of spoken about more, especially, like, stay away from the cripples on the mountain. Give me 15 feet.
Yeah, I mean, that's not asking for too much. And honestly, though, like, let's be real. Like, anybody that's wearing matching outfits as a couple is an asshole anyway. Like, it's not, there's nobody that's, like, doing that that's a cool person, I don't think, unless it's a joke. So I think people are getting a little better at it overall, like over the last few years, but you do definitely see a lot of people just like ripping around, especially on blues and greens. You're like, this is like the place to not do that.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. Like we were at Copper on Tuesday and like, there's like actually like people stand, like people from Ski Patrol, like standing on the hill now to be like pulling people's badges, especially during weeks that it's like super nice out. Cause they're like, we're not dealing with this shit. Like this is a green, go slow. Like, be cautious of other people. And I think that's a reasonable thing to do, right? Like, there's no reason to be going 60 on a green. Like, you're awesome, I'm sure. But
I get it. You're skiing really well. Like, I'm proud of you. And there's a bunch of scouts up in the trees looking to, like, sign you to a multi-year contract. Yeah. Like, that's not happening. Like, just enjoy it.
For sure. What was one of the harder things about starting a nonprofit? Because you said, like, you just kind of jumped into it, right?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, having no clue what you're doing is always a great way to start something. I think like the hardest thing out of the gate was just like so much uncertainties, like not knowing the capabilities of how to fundraise effectively. I was lucky that I had some funding left over from Social Security that I started the foundation with that I was getting from on disability payments. And, you know, when I did that, it was like, cool, I got this money in the account. And then since I didn't have any way of like any revenue stream, it was like, okay, just don't touch it. And I can tell you that a really good way to like fail at business is to like never touch your capital and just sit it there and never do anything because you're afraid that there'll never be more coming in. So that was a big fear. I think the other thing too is just like the hardest thing for me was starting a nonprofit in an area that just doesn't really exist. You know, if we're talking cancer or we're talking homelessness or, you know, there's a lot of nonprofits that exist in those spaces to provide homes to people that are homeless or to provide shelters to those or with cancer to do research or to, you know, to improve quality of life or how you deal as a caretaker. There's all these different nonprofits that are in those world. When you start a nonprofit that's like, hey, I want to help people that have, you know, critical serious injuries in the outdoor sports, people are like, cool, they're daredevils anyway.
Yeah.
Like, why should you support them?
And it's, you know, so that's what I was just going to ask.
Yeah. It's like, that was like right out of the gate. And that's why we started that safety education platform, was to combat a lot of that messaging that we were getting. But then, you know, all of a sudden what we started to find is that when one person gets hurt and we help them, their community's like, wow, High Fives is doing amazing things. Like, we want to be a part of High Fives now. And then the next person gets hurt and they see how High Fives interacts with that individual and improves quality of life through fiscal grants or through adaptive camps or through sports or whatever it may be. And then their community's like, hey, you know what? Like, I used to give to this foundation, but look what they did for my friend.
Yeah.
We're going to support them. And so as we've continually helped more and more individuals and veterans from the country, across the country, it's really started to see that their communities latch onto the foundation saying, hey, this is good. We see what they do and what they're doing is good work and we're going to support it. And that's how we continually grow. But at first, man, I had no clue what I was doing. And luckily there were some really great mentors in the Tahoe area that have done and have continued to steward amazing nonprofits that I got the luckyhood of, you know, just chatting with them and asking them, hey, like, what do you do here? And like, someone gives you money, like, how do you recognize it? Like all these different, you know, questions that, you know, if I probably went to school for it, I'd have the answers, but this wasn't the life that I planned for, but I'm so glad that this life has happened.
It's also like, I don't think you could go to school and just be like, cause that doesn't exist. Like there's not another thing that does that. I don't think, right? Like there wasn't a blueprint for you to follow exactly to be like, oh, these people like extreme sports and they like having fun. And now they need help. Like there's not that kind of help.
So, yeah.
I can't imagine that you would have had it any other better than just like, just going to do it. Right.
Yeah. You know, I think like that old, like, you know, hard school of knocks learning, man, I've made thousands of mistakes.
Yeah.
And instead of allowing mistakes to define, you know, my success, I've always allowed mistakes to define how I'm going to get to success. Mm. And that's always been a big thing for me. It's like, okay, this happened. We can either allow it to show how I'm going to move forward, or I can say, hey, this mistake was made. Let's figure out how we're going to move forward from it so it doesn't happen again.
And yeah.
Sometimes those are the best learning lessons in life. They suck at the moment.
Yeah.
But once you like work through them, it's pretty incredible.
And that sounds like cliche, I think, to people, because like that is a thing that you like you read on like a stupid quote on Facebook or whatever is like, you know, learn from your mistakes and like move forward and all this shit. But like it's really true. Like, I mean, you like you figure out how to be better as long as you actually keep going, right?
Yes.
So, like, otherwise, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It is very cliche, very stupid, like Facebook, like with like birds flying over, like a nice little
somebody's
river.
Mom posted.
Yeah, that mom posted because she just figured out how to share a post on Facebook. She's so excited. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it really is. It's like, you know, if you allow mistakes to be learning tools and you use those tools to improve who you are, like, you can build anything, but you've got to make these mistakes and you've got to be comfortable with making mistakes, but like, don't make them again. That's like, there's the real advice. Like, don't make them again.
Yeah. Like, actually learn from it.
Yeah.
So one of the most interesting things I think about High Fives is that it's like, it's a cool thing. Like, people like want to be involved, like, right out of the gate. Like, they think it's like fun, brands associate it with it. Like, and I'm just like, how did you make that happen? I guess, like, how did you associate High Fives with this? Like, I think, cause every time I think of High Fives, I think of like smiling people and like those videos where like, you're actually like, you're helping people get better and get back on their feet. And it just seems like there's so many good vibes around it. And I think people are attached to that. How did you create that feeling, I guess? Because that's one of the most important things.
You know, the word fundraising is a really big word. It's like 11 or 12 letters or something. Yeah. I could have counted them. But, you know, the thing that's cool about the word is that the first three letters are fun.
Yeah.
And I've always found that if you focus on those first three letters, fun, then the deraising part will naturally happen.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not good English. But at the same time, fundraising is a really big word that you could basically could bottle up trying to say it. So when I focus on fun, I just think that that natural component of people wanting to get together just resonates with all that are there. And that happens from our fundraising events to our day-to-day operations, to the camps that we host, to the people we're around, to the vibes that we try to send out to someone that's newly injured. And, you know, when I really started this, it just like kind of kept doing what I was already doing in life. Like, I was just trying to have fun every day. And like, I'll tell you what, you know, hitting the ground in Mammoth in 06, like, that wasn't fun.
Yeah.
But I knew that if I used positivity, humor, laughter, and then that's to move forward. And I guess, like, you know, a lot of times, like, we'll go and visit someone when they first got hurt, and like, you know, like, some of the things we'll say, like, if they were heard off, like, you know, from a second hand, people are like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
Humor heals. Yeah. And like, you gotta be uncomfortable with like humor.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a big thing for us, is just like never taking it too serious. And yeah, like, spinal cord injuries suck. Like, they really do. But you know what? If you're going to allow that to define you, then you're going to have a sucky ass life.
Yeah.
But if you say, you know what? Yes, this sucks, but look at all this opportunity, and life will never be the same, but it can be awesome. If that's the motto that you're living with, then like, why not resonate with like positivity, humor, laughter, and the things that uplift us, and not allow the things that, you know, take us down to take us down to deeper and lower spots in our life.
Right.
So I think like that's been something that we've always used, is like, humor's healing. And I think that's kind of just resonated across the board, because you know what, at the end of the day, like, as I said, these injuries suck. And like, if I woke up every day and was just like, man, today's going to suck because of this injury. Yeah. Today's going
to
suck.
That's a terrible way to live.
Yeah. But if I wake up and like, dude, I wake up my son and he's just like smiling.
Yeah.
Cause he has like nothing, like he has no like things that are going to like, what's his day consist of? Like eating milk and like pooping. Like, that's his day. And, like, he's so stoked about that. But he wakes up every day with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
And you know, ever since we've brought him into this world, it's really just hit me that's like, you know, he has no expectations of the day other than to smile. And like, you wake up, you smile, it's just like, yeah, like, today's gonna be awesome, and who knows what today's gonna bring. But if you start with a smile, it's just there.
Way better. Kids are funny, man. That's like that's one of the most beautiful things about them, I think, is that they have no baggage yet.
Yeah,
right? They're just like, they're a blank canvas.
Yep.
So what's next for High Fives? Like, what would you like to see coming down the pipeline? What do you have planned? What's going on?
If someone wants to give us $10 million, that'd be awesome. That'd be great. So if any listeners out there, just if you have that around, we can do amazing things with it. Continually safety net the outdoor sports. But if that's not the case, we're actually in the midst of doing some big planning for the East Coast.
Okay, cool.
potentially building a facility in the Mad River Valley.
Sick.
We've got all the plans. We have all the permits. We have all the architecturals.
Yeah.
The next step is waiting for another foundation to complete their capital campaign so that we're not kind of stepping on each other's toes.
Okay.
And then moving forward with that. You know, I'm originally from Vermont, and so ways to get me tied back into Vermont are super important to me. So that's something that's, you know, big. We got this amazing military program that every year we take 22 critically wounded veterans. We put them through 9 weeks of personal training and then a week of on snow at Squaw Valley.
Sick.
And that just started 2 weeks ago, the 9 weeks of training, and the on snow component happens in March. So that's something, I mean, it's not like down the pipeline, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year plan that's stuff, but this is like, this is the thing that just like ignites my soul.
Yeah.
My dad served as a lieutenant colonel for 22 years and always wanted me to like go into the military. I never did. And so this is a little thing that's like, hey, this is a way to say, Dad, I respect what you did. And this is me saying, hey, I want to help serve the community that, you know, means so much to you.
Yeah.
So this military program, this week on snow, oh my God, it's the most amazing week of our life.
Yeah.
So that's coming up, and it's something I always look forward to every single year. The other thing that we're doing right now is we're kind of expanding our space in Truckee, as I mentioned. We're adding 1,100 square feet, and we've been working in kind of this like three pocket system within an office space that's like a couple people here, a couple people here, a couple people here, and everyone's on top of each other kind of style. And so this new expansion is going to really give us the opportunity to actually be like, whew, all right, I got a desk and I got 15 feet around me.
Yeah.
Comes back to that skiing thing. Just give me 15 feet.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting to have that coming up too.
If you, other than $11 million, what can people do?
Ooh, I like how
that?
You added a million. That's
is it,
good.
Is
yeah.
it a million?
Yeah, 12 million.
12 actually. Million?
12 million.
Is that
million.
Much it was? Yeah. a ton of million. Other than however many millions of dollars that people just might have laying around. What can people do to help? How can people be more involved?
You know, I think one thing that we've done really well at High Fives is that we have used, you know, video-based stuff, social media to, you know, really push out who we are, our message, our mission, our visions and stuff like that. So the simple thing, anybody can do it. Just like, comment, share. Like, that's super simple to do. That's like the simple bottom of the line. Anybody can do that regardless of where you are. But I think the other thing is like, when you, if you have a friend that's gotten hurt, maybe they haven't reached out. Right. Reach out for them. See how we could help maybe potentially improve that person's quality of life. And then, you know, if someone does get hurt, reach out to us. Like, I want to always be that safety net. And it's crazy. This past week, I visited a young man on Monday in the hospital. He just broke his neck in a snowboarding accident. Young kid, just a ball of energy, of positivity, too. Yeah. And, I said, hey, what's inspiring you right now? He said, man, you know, until this accident, Dark Matter by Travis Rice.
Like,
yeah, dude, that's awesome. Sick. I'm like, we're resonating. Like, we're talking about stuff that I can talk about with you, you know? And then on Wednesday at the GoPro booth, Travis Rice shows up.
Yeah.
I say, hey, Trav, man, you know, I got to tell you the story. And so I share the story of this young kid who just broke his neck and told him about how that's inspired. Trav grabs my phone and takes off. And shoots this kid a 3-minute video, personal video, connecting with him the whole time. And then we get to send it to the kid. And the kid just ended up going down to a new facility down in Santa Clara for spinal cord research right now and doing his rehab. And I'll tell you what, that little video, that little act of kindness from Travis Rice, who I will tell you is probably the definition of genuine.
Yeah.
That right there has motivated this kid to a whole new degree, knowing that these people out there, the likes of Travis Rice, took the time to do that.
Yeah.
So what can other people do? Do that random act of kindness. You know, when you, if you see someone that's in a hard space or has a disability, ask them if you can help. And they might tell you to pound sand or get away.
Yeah.
They might also say, hey, you know what? Thanks for asking. Here's what I could do.
Yeah.
And just like that. And I think, you know, to get involved, it's more about like, you know, extension. If you love the outdoor sports and like, you know, unfortunately these life-changing injuries could happen to any one of us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's not prepare because you can't prepare for it. But what you can do is you can, you know, share what we do with others and know that it's there to help others. And I think that's the biggest thing is like, just keep helping us grow this thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, unfortunately, like I don't wish anyone to have to go through a spinal cord injury, traumatic brain or mobility limiting type of injury. But if it happens, I'll tell you what, it's so much better that there is something there
that
says, hey, we're here to help. Yeah. And the more that people can help us bring that awareness to others, that's huge. And then volunteering. Yeah. Volunteer at our events, volunteer at our camps, volunteer at what we do. Volunteer. That's it. And even if you don't want to volunteer for us, volunteer for anything. Just for volunteer.
Someone. Yeah.
It's such a cool act.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just people being aware that this exists is huge. I think that's like, and sharing it. And like I said, little acts of kindness makes such a big difference for people. Like, especially that shit. I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
But like, and for him to do that is fucking huge. But like people just being kind to each other, I think is a huge step for anything.
Courtesy. That's my favorite word that I love to talk about. And, you know, when I do public speaking, I kind of always end with that. I said, hey, you know, go out today and define the word courtesy through your actions. Mm. Because if we did that, we would have this most beautiful place in the world. Yeah. But like so many people forget that courtesy is free. That's the coolest part about courtesy. It's 100% free.
Yeah.
And anybody can be courteous. And like if we all were just like, okay, today I'm going to define courtesy through my actions. Wow. What could we create?
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's the best way we can possibly end it.
Awesome.
Where can people find more information on High Fives? Where can people find you online, on social media for both things? Let people know.
Yeah, highfivesfoundation.org. Check out our website. From a social media standpoint, HI, the number 5S, and then Foundation for Instagram and Twitter. And then for myself, I just, pretty boring, Roy Tuscany. Find all of it. I use lowercase Roy and uppercase Tuscany. So that's really my extent of, you know, my collaborative design ideas for my own personal social media.
Well, thank you for doing this, dude. I appreciate it.
Oh, this was awesome. Thank you, guys. What a great way to wrap up OR.
Oh, for sure.
And now let's go inside.
Yeah. That was episode number 89 with Roy Tuscany from High Fives. Again, if you have any interest in checking out High Fives or donating, be sure to go to highfivesfoundation.org. Check them out. Learn a little bit more about what they do and how they help. You can follow them on Instagram at HI number 5S Foundation. And you can also check out Roy at Roy Tuscany on the Instagram, the Twitter, and whatever else hits your fancy. Make sure you follow us on social if you don't. To get all the latest updates and whatever. We've got some awesome contests coming out on social media as well. One with Fubuki boots, one with drink tanks, and one with Fisher skis, which will be an awesome one. So keep an eye on those. Those will only be available on the social for the first two. The Fisher one will probably be available on the website as well. And that's that. I don't know what episode we're going to put out on Thursday, but there's going to be another one. So we'll talk to you guys then. See ya.